All right, we will move on to item number 26, Lake Oahe Fishery Update. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Dylan Gravenoff here, fisheries biologist just across the river in the Fort Pierre District Office. Recognize I'm probably a new face to all of you, so I appreciate the opportunity to stop by and quickly talk about the state of the walleye fishery on Lake Oahe. So you can see, maybe not. Maybe in the meantime, what I will offer is very brief time to talk with you today. So I'll just touch on some of the highlights on some of the current going on with the walleye fishery on Lake Oahe. But what I will offer for anybody in the room and online is that later this month, myself and some of my colleagues will be hosting a couple of public meetings, both here in Pier and Mobridge. And we also will be recording those meetings where we'll take a longer in-depth presentation into some of these walleye trends. We'll talk about smallmouth bass and some of our other programs and surveys. So if you have any more interest, we'll take a deeper look at some of those public meetings. Maybe. Oh yeah, there we go. So before I get into actually any data, looks like we're lagging a little bit, but so you'll hear me talk a lot about Upper Oahe and Lower Oahe. Obviously, Lake Oahe is a very, very large reservoir, and that provides some complications when we think about management on a reservoir that big. Luckily for us, so we break Lake Oahe, at least the South Dakota portion of Lake Oahe, down into two management zones. That upper portion, which is from the Highway 212 bridge just west of Gettysburg, up to the North Dakota-South Dakota line, and then the lower portion from that Highway 212 bridge down to Oahe Dam. This actually works very well for us because historically and currently, these two zones of Oahe actually function very differently from themselves when thinking about the walleye fishery. The lower end, obviously much deeper, cleaner water, less productive. And then you compare that to the upper end. It's generally shallower, dirtier, siltier. It's got some of those major tributaries that are bringing some of that warm, dirty water in. So as such, the walleye fisheries in those two zones kind of function independently, so it kind of allows us to manage those zones separately, if you will. So we're going to start out with a few graphs looking at Lower Oahe, so that Highway 212 bridge down to Oahe Dam. So this graph here is basically just looking at the average number of walleyes that we catch per net in our gill net survey. So every September we run 96 gill nets on the lower portion of Lake Oahe. Those are spread randomly kind of from that Peoria Flats area up to Bush's Landing in random depths, random locations to kind of capture a full image of what's going on in the fishery there. So you can see on the y-axis of the graph there, that's just the average number of walleyes that we've caught out of all those nets. And then we got 2017 through this previous year, 2024, on the x-axis. So the first thing you can kind of see is, like, there's some up and downs throughout the years, but overall, over the last 8 years, we're seeing this nice upward trajectory in the abundance of walleyes on the lower end of Lake Oahe, which is really promising to see. And I think that's evident of what we're hearing and seeing from the anglers. It's really been phenomenal fishing on Oahe the last couple of years, and that's evident in what we're seeing in our gill nets also. You just have to go back just a few years ago to 2017, 2018. We were really seeing poor walleye abundance. We were down around one and a half walleyes per net. And this past year in 2024, we were up around almost five walleyes per net. So really, really encouraging to see that increase in walleye abundance, at least on the lower end, and we're hoping to see that trend continue. The other important thing to note here, if you look at the different colors on the bar, the tan bar is those 10 to 15 inch fish. The yellow is a 15 to 20 inch, or what our anglers like to call the eaters. And then the purple would be our greater than 20 inch fish. So not only overall are we seeing higher walleye abundance, if you look at that yellow bar, those 15 to 20 inch fish were, that's really our bread and butter with anglers. That's what a lot of those folks are targeting and harvesting. We're seeing very, very good abundance of those fish on the lower end. So not only do we want to know how many walleyes are out there, but we also want to look at growth rates. Obviously, most anglers tend to start catching and harvesting walleyes kind of around that 14, 15-inch range. That's usually their minimum target goal. So obviously a walleye that reaches, say, 15 inches in 3 years is a lot more beneficial than a fish that takes 6 years to reach the same length. So with that, when we talk about walleye growth, generally the metric that we use is we look at, on average, how long a walleye is at age three. So how quickly does it grow in those first year, 3 years of life? So just looking at this graph here, again, from 2018 to 2024, and you can kind of see this is for all those age three fish that we catch each year in those surveys, on average, how long those fish are. And you can see generally we have pretty good growth on the lower end. Most years are right around or above that 15-inch objective. That's kind of our goal, both for South Dakota and the Midwest. If you can get a 15-inch walleye in 3 years, that's pretty good growth. So things are looking pretty good there. And actually the last 2 years in 2023, 2024, we're seeing even better growth than our objective. This past year, on average, a three-year-old walleye was already reaching 16.25 inches. So very good growth on the lower end of Lake Oahe. So along with abundance and growth, we also look at condition of walleyes. This is, you often hear the anglers talk about that they caught really fat walleyes, they're really healthy. Well, this is an actually indexed sign of value to the condition of those fish. So this graph here is just those values or those condition values on the y-axis, and then going all the way back to 1990 on the left and 2024 to the right. And I highlighted that box around that 80 to 90 score range. That's considered good walleye condition. So anything that falls inside that box would be considered good condition. So you will see from 23 to 24, we saw slight dips in walleye condition, but nothing to be concerned about. It's still right in that target range, if you will. What is interesting here is this condition index is a good way to kind of look at walleye responses to major like flood events and stuff like that. So if you look at like on the far left in the early 90s, we had really good walleye condition. And then obviously we had the high water flood of 97. And then in the couple years following that, that's that first big dip in condition. You can see the walleye population condition really respond to that lack of prey. Things responded well through the early 2000s. And then obviously the flood of 2011, prey collapse and walleye condition really went in the tank again. The nice thing is we saw things recover pretty quickly, and then while not a big flood, we had high water in 2019 again, which kind of set things back, but it looks like the last couple of years walleye condition is really responding well. So now all these next three graphs are going to be focused on that upper portion of Oahe, so the Highway 212 bridge up to the North Dakota-South Dakota line. Again, this graph looking at the average number of walleyes that we catch per net in our gill nets in September. So we had a little bit of a decline in our walleye abundance from 23 to 24, but admittedly that was maybe a little, or we were suspecting that a little bit. We really had a banner year in 23. And while we had a slight decline in 2024, you can still see it's well above the average from 17 to 22. It's still about 50% above the average from those previous years. So maybe not quite where we want things to be on the upper end of Lake Oahe yet, but it definitely appears to be trending in the right direction. It was good to see a better year again anyway. And then the same looking at that, the important thing to look at is that yellow bar is those 15 to 20 inch fish, which are really important to the anglers. While we did see a little bit of a drop in the overall walleye abundance, that those 15 to 20 inch fish really provided a strong number in those gill nets. So that was encouraging to see. Again, looking at walleye growth, slightly slower walleye growth on the upper end of Lake Oahe, and this is something that's really drawn our attention that we're going to work on kind of addressing this. But the promising thing is, at least the last couple years, we're seeing much improved walleye growth for those age three walleyes. It was just a couple years ago in 2022, those three-year-old walleyes on the upper end were only reaching about 12 inches. So if you compare that to 16.25 inches on the lower end in this past year, that's a pretty stark difference. But just this past year, we were able to get that up to almost 14.5 inches for those age three walleyes. So maybe a little bit below objective there, but it seems to be trending in the right direction. Again, looking at walleye condition for the upper end of Lake Oahe, very similar story. We saw slight decreases in walleye condition from 23 to 24, but still right in the middle of that 80 to 90 score value range, so it's still considered good condition there, nothing to be concerned about. So I'll talk real briefly about walleye stockings and gizzard shad stockings on Lake Oahe. I know that's a topic that the commission has heard a lot about, both through public comment, stuff like that. So I won't spend too much time on kind of historical stockings, but we first started stocking Lake Oahe in 2017 outside of a couple experimental stockings, I think in like the 90s. Lake Oahe had never been stocked with walleyes. But following the flood of 2011, the walleye population was really struggling. It was taking quite a while to recover. So we decided to try some stockings. We didn't know if it would work. But we focused those stockings from 17 to 22 on the lower end of Lake Oahe. While the whole population was kind of down a little bit, the lower end was really suffering the worst. The upper end was kind of holding its own. So we focused those stockings on the lower end. And actually, those stockings appeared to work. We weren't sure if they were going to work, but we really saw walleye abundance and growth really start to recover. And in the meantime, on the upper end, things still kind of continued on a slow decline, both in walleye abundance and growth. So this previous year, in 2023, was the first year that we transitioned to stocking a large amount of fingerling walleye on the upper end, about 3.7 million there. And that kind of led us to the kind of the stocking schedule, I guess, if you will, that we're in now, where it's not necessarily good form to stock the same areas with large amounts of walleyes every single year. It can actually slow growth when you're stocking year classes on top of each other. So we've kind of have been able to get in the rotation where with those two different zones functioning differently from each other, we're able to stock the upper end 1 year, lower end the next year, upper end the next year. So we're able to stock Lake Oahe every year with walleyes, but be able to get those fish in different areas and not stock on top of each other. Kind of very similar story with our gizzard shad stockings. I think you guys have heard about this before. We're moving pre-spawn, large pre-spawn adult shad out of Lake Sharp up into Lake Oahe, where hopefully those adult shad will be able to pull off multiple spawns throughout the course of the summer and into the fall, providing a lot of small prey base for both the walleyes and other species. Kind of similar trend following the flood of 2011 through 22. A lot of those shad stockings were focused on the lower end there, where we're supplementing those walleyes, but prey was also pretty low, so we wanted to get more prey in there for them. And then in 2023, when we swapped those stockings, walleye stockings to the upper end of Lake Oahe, we transitioned to also stocking the shad up there to kind of pair those together. So looking at what we stocked this previous year in 2024, so again, up until 2022, we stocked the lower end. 23, we transitioned to stocking the upper end. So 2024, we transitioned back to stocking lower Lake Oahe, and we stocked just under 3 million fingerlings. And you can see the kind of the sites and the numbers there listed. Maybe a little bit different story with the shad. In the past, we had been always pairing wherever we stocked walleyes. That's where we'd stock our shad. But we realized it probably not a bad thing to have shad everywhere. Yes, it's a good thing to have stock some shad wherever we're stocking our walleyes. But there's also natural walleyes and previous year classes of walleyes in other areas. So in 2024, we transitioned to stocking those shad all up and down Lake Oahe to get them in at all the locations you see there on the right. And the other exciting thing is we stocked a record number of shad up until prior to 2023. I think the most shad we had ever moved in a year was under 1,000. 2023, we moved 1,500 adult shad. And then 2024, we moved over 2,200 shad. So we were really excited to move those numbers of fish up there. So looking at plans for stocking Oahe in 2025, we're planning to do our gizzard shad trap and transfer and stockings again. We kind of set a minimum goal of around that 1,700-1,800, but we will gladly move more fish if we're able to get our hands on them. When we're capturing these fish to move up to Oahe, it's kind of right around there. The water warming period in Lake Sharp when they're getting ready to spawn, so we typically have a short window to get those fish, but we can really catch a lot in a short period. So if we're able to move more, we absolutely will, with plans to spread those gizzard shad all up and down Lake Oahe, similar to 2024. Our walleye fingerling request for Lake Oahe for 2025 is 3.2 million fingerlings, pretty similar to what our request has been the last few years. I threw out a few sites there, about 400,000 to 500,000 fingerlings per site at anywhere from Pollock near the North Dakota-South Dakota line down to Swan Creek, really focused on that upper portion of Lake Wahee. But what I will say is the specific locations and the numbers at each location is always subject to change based on the weather a certain day when the hatcheries are stocking or reservoir elevations go up and down and ramps come in and out of use. We might have to adjust those stocking plans. And this one quick graph that I'll wrap up with is just a quick glimpse into angling pressure on Lake Wahee from this previous summer. So this isn't total angling pressure across the whole year. Rather, we just look at, we estimate fishing trips from May to July, kind of that main primary boating period, but it gives us a nice index to see did pressure go up or down from the previous year. So you can see there's a slight, the blue bar is lower Lake Wahee, the orange bar is upper Lake Wahee, and we saw slight increases in fishing pressure from 23 to 24, which is encouraging to see. It still looks like things are down a little bit, but what I would speculate here is you see those two high years of angling pressure, 2020 and 2021, during that COVID time period. Obviously, we saw that with our fishing license sales. Other states saw a lot of people are out fishing. So it looks like things have dropped off a little bit, but I would really speculate that we've kind of returned to the normal, if you will. We kind of came back down off those COVID peaks, but things have really kind of settled out where we typically see angling pressure on Oahu. And I've just put my contact information up there. I'll be happy to answer any questions, but if anybody has anything, feel free to reach out to me. Thanks.
Very good. Any questions for Dylan? Very good report.
Thank you.
Very nice. Oh, we have one question? No. I guess we don't have any questions. Thank you. Very good. We will move on to 27, Mountain Goat Action Plan. Chad Lehman will be joining us.
That is completed already. Oh. 27 and 28 we did with.
Oh, yes. We did those yesterday. Yep. Thank you. Very good. We will move on to 29,